about Danielle Schreiber. It has been only 7 days since our world has been transformed by the Patir of Rebbe, Harini Kaparis Mishkavim. And I, like I'm sure many others, are trying to make sense of it all. How do we act? What are we supposed to do? What can we do? I would like to share the following idea with you that I think will contribute somewhat to this endeavor. This past Shabbos, Parshas Achrimos Kedoshim, my father pointed out to me a psikta of Rabbi Lazar. The pasuk states, at the very beginning of Achrimos, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Achrimos, Shnei Bnei Aaron, Bekarvasam Lifnei Hashem, Vayamusu. And of course, this is talking about Yom HaKippurim. Achrimos is dealing with Yom HaKippurim. Yishami asks, Tanya, Lamahu Maskir Misasan B'Yom HaKippurim. Why does the Torah mention the deaths of Aaron's sons on Yom HaKippurim? So Yisham Ben Yoma says, L'lamedcha shekashem shiyom HaKippurim mechaper al Yisrael kach mitatan shel tzadikim mechaperet al Yisrael. Just like Yom HaKippurim is mechaper for the deaths, just Yom HaKippurim is mechaper for Bnei Yisrael, so too the death of tzadikim is mechaper for Yisrael. And the Torah Tzimima there points out a psikta de Rabbi Lazar. Lo nispar erech ha'inyan shemitat tzadikim mechaper umatam medavar. Why is it so that mitat tzadikim is mechaper? V'nira api mashikosu v'psikta de Rabbi Lazar v'inyan mitat Shaul d'chtiv bei shmol bet v'yikbaru et atzmot Shaul v'yatar elokim la'aretz achrei kein. After the burial of Shaul, so the famine ended. V'zeh l'shon psikta. Kevin shira kadosh baruch hu shegomel lo chesed. After Hashem saw that Am Yisrael had done chesed for Shaul, then what did they do for him after he died? Shetzamu, they fasted. Uvachu, and they cried. V'softu lo, and they eulogized him. K'mavur b'pasuk. Miyad malei rachamim. Hashem is filled with mercy. Shinema vayater elokim la'aretz. Adkan. Says the Torah Tamima, Mavur mize shelo hamita va'atzma mechaperet ala hakavod va'evel. Honor and the mourning. Shinogin b'mitat tzadikim. The kavod zeh hu kavod Hashem. Yehi ratzon that our efforts, our evel and our hespedim here and all over the world will bring kavod to Hashem and kapara for Am Yisrael. When I think of Rebbe Harini Kaparis Mishkavim, I think of the tefillah based on Tana Debei Eliyahu. Lo'olam ye'adam yirei shemayim b'seter v'galui u'mode al ha'emet v'dover emet bilvavo. Person should be a mensch, an adam. He should be yirei shemayim b'seter v'galui yitocha kibaro, and he should have integrity. Each part characterizes Rebbe's Atzal. And I also think of the Rambam in Hilchos Deot, Perakei Halacha Aleph. Kishem shechacham nikar b'chachmato uvedeotav. Just like a chacham is outstanding and recognizable in his wisdom and his knowledge. V'humuvdal b'hem yishar ha'am. And he stands apart from everybody else. Kach tzarech shehiya nikar b'ma'asav. So too, he has to be distinct and different in his actions. B'ma'achalo u'v'mashkeu, in his eating, in his drinking. U'v'dibo, u'v'yilucho, u'v'malbusho, in his speech, his walk, his dress. U'v'masov matno, in his business. V'yukol ha'ma'asim ha'elu, and everything that he does, na'im u'mutukanim biyoter. It should be exceedingly beautiful and pleasant. These words also characterize Rebbe Zal. I would like to take the opportunity to elucidate some of these aspects of Rebbe with the following stories. On Shabbos, I mentioned a number of stories. I just want to repeat two of them, and then some others, if I may. Around 20 years ago, when I began to interview Talmidim for the yeshiva, I approached Rebbe for direction and advice. And he said to me, I don't need any direction. He trusts me. But he wants to ask one thing of me before I begin. That I never ever disparage another yeshiva, never say anything bad about another yeshiva or institution. He said, I'd rather lose Talmidim than that happen. I remember leaving his shir, his study, saying, Ashrinu Matov Chalkenu. And then I heard a story from Rabbi Yitzchak Kohn, Shlita. He called me a few days ago, to Menachem me, and he told me that he recollects that years ago when Rebbe was a Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva University, so he would sometimes take the boys to Hafganot, to rallies and protests. And on one of these occasions, they had a chartered bus somewhere, and they all got off the bus, they gathered together, and then the boys were looking for Rebbe. Where's Rebbe? Did you see him get off the bus? No. So some of the boys went back to the bus, and they found Rebbe on the floor, cleaning underneath the seats, taking out all the garbage. So they asked him, what are you doing? So he said, well, when everyone got off the bus driver complained, look what the boys did. The bus is a mess. I have to clean up all by myself. So Rebbe said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. This chesed of Rebbe extends to every sphere of his life. A number of years ago, in terms of just psak halacha, a student from another yeshiva, nothing to do with our yeshiva, a student who knew me had a terrible shayla, very difficult, complex shayla. The student was a baal tshuva and was returning home, and the home was not going to be supportive in any way to this person's Shemiras HaMitzvos. And the person needed guidance and all sorts of heterim. And the person wanted to know if I could be of help, maybe Rav Lichtenstein. So I hesitantly approached Rav Lichtenstein. Does he have time to meet with this student? And he asked for the details. I started to explain it to him, and I even offered. I said, listen, Rebbe, we had done this before sometimes. I said, I can get the shaylot, and I can give them to you. You can give me the answer. You don't have to be so bothered if it's too difficult, and I'll explain everything to the person. The Rebbe insisted no. He wants to meet with this student, with this person, and Rebbe spent hours and hours with this student on numerous occasions, numerous times. And not only did Rebbe, who normally did not offer heterim easily, not only did Rebbe find incredible, huge kulot for this person, but Rebbe also was able to ask this person, do you know, you can have a problem with this and with that, beyond all the questions that the person had suggested. And Rebbe helped pave the way for this individual back to this person's home. And Rebbe said, in doing so, he said, family harmony is so central and crucial. Shalom bayis is so important. You cannot sever your relationship with your parents. You can't cause a rift. He said, I'm trying to do everything I can to help you. I'll never forget those meetings and his emphatic, insistent message. There was other chesed in his psak halacha, and that is in his having mitunim bedin. I would approach him sometimes, and of course sometimes he would give an answer on the spot, but very often he would say to me, if it was a complex question, he would say, I need some time. What is timing? Sometimes it took weeks. He was thinking about it, until finally he would call me and say, "It's Aaron Lichtenstein," and he would give me the answer. But these were questions that were on his mind for weeks and weeks and weeks. And sometimes in his psak, he would say the opposite. He would say, "Why are you asking me?" He said, "There's a Marad Asra in such and such place. I have no business answering this question." Once I called him up and I said there was a certain university, that there was a question from Talmidim there, and Rebbe said, "No, there's a Marad Asra there." And I said, "Rebbe, I happen to know that based on the question of the person said to me, they were in the middle of switching Marad Asra, and right now there was no one there." He said, "I didn't hear of such a thing." So I said, "Okay, that's what he told me." So Rebbe said, "I will not answer the question until I verify that this person said it's true, that there's no more doctor there." And only after he made the calls and found out, then he was willing to accept the question. And often Rebbe would say to me, "You know, this is a question you need to kiyas and shuvos, ask Rav Amital." Or sometimes he would say to me, "This is a question you need bekiyot in chashmal. Ask Rav Rosen." Wouldn't rush to be the one to give the answers. I would also like to talk about a different type of chesed. As many talmidim know, Rebbe would make the effort to go to their wedding, whether it was in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Laretz, and Rebbe would spend the time with you at the wedding. He would show up on time. And he even, I remember in my case, he saw I was very nervous. And I didn't know what to do with I was standing in front of Rebbe. I'm a nervous son, and what am I going to talk about with him? And he takes out his pen. And he says, "I like this pen. This is a pen I use when I write on the ketubah, and I fill in the ketubah." He said, "I've tried other pens, and I work so well. This is a really good pen. I don't know what's going to happen when the ink runs out." I remember thinking, okay, you know, and I definitely calmed down. Around a year and a half ago, Rebbe was Masada Kedushin for my daughter and my son-in-law, and we very much wanted Rebbe to be the Masada Kedushin. And when I spoke with him about it, he said to me, "You know, I really feel that you should be, since you're the father, you should be the Masada Kedushin." I said, "Rebbe, we've all discussed it. We really, really very much want you to be the Masada Kedush." So he said, "Listen," he said, "I really feel the father should do it, but I'll tell you what. I'll do it. But even at the last minute, if you change your mind, Daka Hatishim, you tell me, and I'm going to step aside happily and rejoicing in your being Masada Kedush." Rebbe told a story once at a kennis that we were at. He said, he had a dear Talmud who unfortunately went off the derech once, and Rebbe Lichtenstein said he was terribly hurt. And then a number of years later, the Talmud called him and told him, "Rebbe, I got a mazel tov, I'm getting married. Would you be the Masada Kedush?" So first, Rebbe said to us, he wanted to say no to the boy. He'd been so hurt. And then he asked himself. He said to us, "What if it had been one of my own children? Of course I'd be Masada Kedushin." So I was Masada Kedushin for this boy. And Rebbe was medactic on himself, even on very little things. Of course, we all know that the Rebbe would only eat Vada Yoshan. If it was just a little bit of a suffix that was Chadash, he wouldn't eat it. He wouldn't carry in many, many Eruvin. But beyond these big issues, even little things, he took the phrase, La'olam Yehadam Yerei Shemayim, very seriously. He once said to us, "If you want me to define Yerei Shemayim for you, I'll tell you what it means. I'll describe a picture to you." He said, "Imagine that you were falling into an abyss, and at the last minute, in the nick of time, you're caught by the Ribbono Shel Olam, on the scruff of your neck, by your collar. And the only thing that's holding you, kaviyachol, is the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you live your life that way, he said, that's Yirat Shamayim. And these little things, I mean, what are we talking about over here? He would always make sure to shake salt on the table before he said hamotzi, and then dip it in. And he wouldn't eat bread. He wouldn't do hamotzi until he found that salt shaker. It didn't make a difference where it was in the cheder ochel. He wouldn't drink water before davening in the morning. No, according to almost all poskim, it's fine. But he wouldn't drink water. Also, the la'adam included even the water for him. Of course, he would wash before tefillah, even mincha ma'ariv. And even when he was very old and infirmed, he still did it, even though it was very difficult. I remember also, before exiting the men's room, he would wash 3 times all the time. So I thought, okay, it was a nice kepeda. We once had a conference, and in between the sessions, people got up to go to the room, and Rav Lichtenstein got up, also we were all gone. He takes a cup from the table to bring it with him to the men's room so that he could wash Netil Sedayim. These little things. One last thing with regard to this little tiktukim, and soon. Rebbe once came to my parents' home for Shabbaton in Woodmere, and he asked us what time can he arrive at the home on Friday. So we said to him, Rebbe, whenever you want to come, we'll be here. So he said, okay, I'll be there by Chatzos, midday. He said, Rebbe, you have family in New York. You have plenty of things and people to do. Tell me them to see. You take your time. We'll be totally available for you whenever you want to come, whenever you arrive. And he said, no, it's Erev Shabbos. So how can you leave it to the last minute? I'm going to be at your home at midday. In Kachai. There's a lot more to say. I would just point out just a few more items about Rebbe's being metukan biyoter, pleasing and elegant in all his ways. He was spiritual aristocracy. He would not drink out of a bottle of water directly. He would only use a drinking glass or a cup. He was really kapeda by him. He was always neat, clean, of course in dress, but on that Shabbaton when he was at our home. So I remember when I woke him up in the morning, he'd asked me to. That's the only way I would do it. And afterwards I went to check on him to see if he was okay and how he was making out, and he was fine, and I saw the bed was completely made. And he had gone to sleep, by the way, in case anyone was thinking he didn't. It was made differently from the way it was made before he arrived. But it was made. And of course, he never spoke in a vulgar manner, but not even in a pedestrian manner, or in a quote-unquote normal manner. We're familiar with what he would call, a three-part answer. It was a tripartite answer. Abizraya was not a branch of law, but an appurtenance. And a shear every other week was a bi-weekly shear. This was Rebbe, spiritual aristocracy. And I'll conclude the very first shear that I ever heard from Rebbe, 31 years ago. It was in YU in Lamport Auditorium. Here we are in the Gush Auditorium. I heard the first shear from him in Lamport Auditorium. It was 2 days before Parshas Mitzora, but before Pesach. And Rav Lichtenstein emphasized the Mishnah in Pesachim, B'chol davar chayav adam lirot et atzmo, Ki ilu yotza mi mitzrayim. Every generation, this person is obligated to see himself as if he left Mitzrayim. And then he quoted the pasuk that you say to the Rosha, Higarta levincha b'yam ahu leimor, Ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li, B'yatzi asi, B'tzei si mi Mitzrayim. Just for me. And Rav Lichtenstein said, the obligation here is to feel not that somehow we were one person swept along with the rest of Am Yisrael, but even if it was just us, the individual sense, just you, Hashem would have done all of Yitzhak's Mitzrayim just for you. And he said, that each of us counts. What each of us does matters. It matters if it all depends on you. And for us to be exactly like Rebbe is, of course, impossible. But I would only say that Rebbe would say to us, do your own very best. You may be surprised at the heights you may reach.